Goes around, comes around is our theme for the moment. And this week is part two. Today's title is this: what goes down must come up. What goes down must come up. Think about it. Right. The verse that everything we're talking about is based on really now is Galatians 6 verse 7, which says this: do not be deceived, or do not be misled. God cannot be mocked, or you can't stick your nose up at God, right? A man reaps what he sows, okay? It goes on, and of course, all scripture should be interpreted contextually. That means you should read the chapter, you know, and if you need to, you should read the book. And if you need to, you should read the Bible. And you need to. Right? But it goes on to say, the one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Right, last week, we started by saying that God has always intended growth and fruit. And we talked around how God had promised that there would always be seed time followed by harvest. We also talked about the need for a soft or ploughed heart so that the seed could settle inside us and we could be refreshed by the rain sent from God. Today we're going to go further looking at this scripture. And I want to ask you a question. And the question is this: what is in your bag? I'm sure if Austin Powers was here today, he would say, it's not my bag, baby. But what is in your bag? You see, it says in that Galatians 6, verse 8, the one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. What are you sowing from? What is in your bag? If you can imagine the sower going out to sow the seed, not in his fantastic multi-million pound seed drill, but, you know, the old sower with his bag over his arm, full of seed, going out, casting seed out of his bag. What is in your bag? If you have a bag full of corn, you will reap a harvest of corn if you go out and sow it into prepared ground. If you will throw out seed from a bag of wheat, you will reap wheat. If you sow from the Spirit nature, the renewed man that God has created within you, you will reap eternal life. You might say, how can sowing Spirit reap life? Thought you planted what you sowed. No, think about it. The Spirit gives life. If you sow out of the Spirit nature, you will reap life. Just as if you sow wheat and you reap a harvest, you will reap life because you will eat all winter on that crop. So what you sow will bring you life. If you sow from the Spirit nature, you will reap eternal life. But if you sow out of the sinful nature, you will reap destruction. So what is in your bag? Now you see, 1 John 3 verse 9 says this: no one who is born of God will continue to sin, because God's seed remains in him. He cannot go on sinning because he has been born of God. Over the years, many people have asked, what does this mean? Does this mean that if you are born again, you don't sin anymore? Other people have said that we must misunderstand this, because it obviously suggests that becoming a Christian reduces sin in your life, and that's not my experience. Of course, whenever you interpret God's word by your experience, you are opening yourself up to error. The reality is that if we allow our lives to be a fertile and prepared place for God's seed in our lives, then yes, we will not continually sin. And that's what it's talking about. We will not continue to sin. Does it mean we'd stop failing God? Well, unfortunately, no, it doesn't mean we stop failing God. But we ought to stop failing God the same way, and we ought to stop failing God every day, all day long, because we ought to find that the life of God is manifest in us through his seed which has grown in us. Just as God spoke the seed that was Jesus Christ into a virgin called Mary, just as God did that, and his son came into the world, and it says in the scripture, through him came light and life. Just as that seed brought something real into this world that has allowed salvation to touch us, the seed of God into our lives brings life, and it brings health, and it brings salvation. So what is in your bag? You see, God warns us that certain types of sowing will reap destruction in our lives, but others we reap life from. Galatians 5 verse 19. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But, I love a good but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Here's two simple things. If you live your life sowing from the sinful nature, sexual immorality, impurity, witchcraft, jealousy, fits of rage, all these other things will manifest in your life. They will be a harvest from the sinful nature. And we know that those things we will reap destruction from. However, if you sow from the nature of God that is being formed within you, and let's be honest about this, this is a work in progress, right? But if we sow according to that nature, then the fruit is love and joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And you know, there is something absolutely admirable in a person when you can see self-control manifest in their lives. And it's much more admirable than seeing orgies manifest in someone's life. And the fruit of both of them is so different, it cannot be compared. Destruction or life. Destruction or life. And you see, where we've misunderstood so much of this over the years is this. Is it that because people are sexually immoral and because they envy and because they have selfish ambition that God punishes them and beats the life out of them and they go to eternal destruction? It's because they sowed those things in their life that they reap destruction. You know, this is all about God has made us in his image, in his likeness, and we are after his kind. And we can make the choice. And the choice is ours. And we choose what we sow. And I would much rather reap love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control in my life. And the fact is this, if I sow out of my spirit nature, I will reap those things. And I would rather reap those things. Of course, that means you've got to discipline yourself in what you sow. The Bible is not in any way vague about what type of behaviour will bring about a destructive harvest in our lives. You know, if you're worried about, well, I'm not really sure what the Bible says about how we should behave sexually. It says it here. Sexual immorality will reap destruction in your life for being sexually immoral. Isn't that clear? Oh, you know, what do you want? Do you want it tattooed on your head? The Bible is as clear as it could be. But the Christian life is about relationship with God. Not a creed, not a set of laws or principles. If relationship is soundly established in our lives, we will take note of these warnings about our behaviour, not because of any legalism, but because of the harvest the Bible tells us we will reap if we don't pay attention. Imagine there is no Tesco's. You know, you can imagine John Lennon singing that. Imagine there's no Tesco's. Or Asda, no supermarkets. Imagine that when you eat, everything you eat must be grown by you and your family. Just imagine that. You can't, can you? Because you can hardly work out how you open tins. You know, let alone how everything. You know, if you had to make bread, and I said to you, there you are, start with this bag of corn, or wheat, or whatever you make bread from. Be wheat, wouldn't it? It wouldn't be corn. If I gave you a bag of wheat seeds and said, now make a loaf of bread, honestly, you know, honestly, which of us could do that? But you see, the truth is, we can't even work out how to get from A to B, can we? And yet, what we are being asked to here is realise this, that if you pay no attention to ploughing, sowing, or even reaping, you will be hungry and possibly die. Forget to plant potatoes, and you will have no potatoes this year. Ignore what you are sowing into the ground, and you will turn around in the appropriate season and say, where did this come from? Or why isn't there fruitfulness in my life? Or why am I in need? When the reality is, had we paid attention to what we were sowing, we would have had bread on our table. Matthew 7:16 says this, by their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit. And a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Clearly, we can recognize what bag people are sowing from by the fruit they produce. You might not see it in a moment. It might take a season or two. But you will recognize it. What do we mean by all this? Well, if you see someone who is always angry or falling out with people, someone who cannot speak a sentence without bitterness and condemnation coming out of their mouths, this tells you something of the nature that they are sowing from. Just as a life that seems fruitless has issues that surround it, so also the output of a man reveals the contents of the heart. We're not told this so we can go around measuring everyone up to see whether they're making the grade, but so we can measure ourselves. Although a friend may well help you from time to time by holding a mirror up so you can see yourself, it is you that has to be prepared to look in the mirror. And thank God for the friend. Matthew 12:34, for out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man, remember we just heard about the good tree, the good man brings good things, we've heard about good fruit, out of the good stored up in him. And the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that men will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. I do not find it a scary, condemning thing that I will have to give account of myself to God. I find it a good reminder that I should be sowing out of the right bag today. And I find it a good concept that my Father holds me accountable, because that proves to me that he actually loves me. Day of judgment may seem a strong phrase, But in farming terms, when the harvest is in, there is a judgment. Either there is enough of it or there isn't. Either it's a good harvest or it was a bad one. The crop is high quality or it isn't. Sometimes a crop is lost. But if you look at your heart and are shocked by what you see, do not give up, but rather go back to God and deal with what you have found. If we manage the ground of our hearts and lives with repentance, the sowing of the right seed will produce a good harvest. Do you believe that? Good, because I do. Right. Passive sowing. Sowing is often casual, without thought, and passive. Just as a bee pollinates without thinking about it, as it goes about the routine of life, we too are often sowing out of the nature we are operating in without thought. In fact, not only is sowing often passive, reaping is often a surprise. Sometimes we reap a harvest and we wonder where it came from because we don't remember planting it. And that cuts both ways. You know, sometimes a blessing turns up in your life and you can't think where it came from. Chris told me about a wonderful blessing in her life this week. She thought she was going to have to give up a horse whom she loves, right? It's a good horse. Good horse. Trigger. And what's it called? Aramis. And that's it, aftershave. I used to have that aftershave when I was a young man. I had high karate as well, yeah, and sensored. And brute. But Aramis, right? She loves this horse, and because of financial reasons, she was going to have to give up this horse. But she asked God. Do you know what happened? Because months ago, when somebody was ill at the stables where she houses the horse, she mucked in when they were ill and helped without being told to, beg to, or whatever, but actually went in and mucked out the horses and did some hard work. They have turned round to her and said, we could do a little bit more help. Would you like to just help us a little bit more and we'll cover the cost of stabling the horse and look after it and you can keep the horse here? Don't you think that is wonderful? What happened is Chris sowed out of righteousness something which really she had just about forgotten. And out of the blue, she reaped a harvest, which has allowed her to keep the horse she likes. I think that's absolutely fabulous. And let me tell you something, God's like that. God loves you and he knows if you like your horse. And he forgives you if you like a dog. I'll get told off for that later. Right. If we sow passively, listen to this because this is important. If we sow passively, it is presumably because we either do not know or do not believe that our motives and behaviour matter. If we sow passively, it is presumably because we either do not know or do not believe that our motives and behaviour matter. Well, here's the news for you. Our motives and behaviours matter. The fact is, we will reap a harvest. And we are better to check our motives, sort out our motives, get our motives in line with the Word of God, and sort out our behaviour and get that in line with the Word of God, because it will improve our harvest. Mark 12:28, one of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he had a habit of doing that, he asked him, of all the commandments, which is the most important? The most important one, answered Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this. Love your neighbour as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Notice that the teacher only asked which is the greatest. He didn't ask, can I have the second as well? But Jesus gave him the second as well, because Jesus went on to say that the whole law is covered by these two commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind and strength, number one. Number two, love your neighbour as yourself. Jesus said, John 13:34, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. Not you must love each other, but as I have loved you, you must love one another. And he loved us a lot, right? He was prepared as master to get down and wash our feet. And as king and lord and sinless one, he was prepared to be crucified for our sin and failure. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Clearly, whatever wonderful and complex angles we put on the kingdom and purposes of God, it is actually simple. Love God, love each other. Let our sowing be out of love. Sow a little love and you will reap the fruit of a little love. Sow a lot and you will reap a great harvest. It is also clear that we must give thought to what we sow. A deliberate sowing of good seed will give us a good harvest in due time. This is better than hoping that somehow we will get a harvest and then being disappointed because nothing grows by itself or without any help from ourselves. It is no good believing that you will have a harvest unless you are sowing for it. Faith without works is dead. The sower could have spent all spring and summer praying and fasting. If he had have done, he would have spent all autumn fasting as well and all winter fasting because he wouldn't have had a crop because he hadn't gone out and done the work. It's true. No sowing, no reaping. Farming is about planning. Ooh, says he with great agricultural knowledge, not. Farming is about planning. Any farmer has to plan what crop in what field. No farmer says, I have plenty of seed, therefore everything will be okay. No, there must be a preparation of ground and a sowing of the good seed at the time for sowing. What is growing in the field must be tended, and the harvest must be collected when it is ready, rather than being allowed to rot in the fields. Yes, even a good harvest can go rotten if it is not dealt with correctly. There's one to think about. So is planning having everything in your life written on a piece of paper and organised? No. I would rather say that it is all about comparing your life with what is written down somewhere and listening to what the seed of God is sowing into you and responding correctly to it. It's not about having your life written on a piece of paper. It's having a life that's based on what you have read that is written on God's piece of paper. In the context of Galatians 6, again, verse 9 says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. The apostle is saying, look guys, let's be good to each other. Let's sow out of love. We will reap a great harvest if we do that, especially to the believers, but to everyone. James 3:18, fantastic verse, says this, peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. This scripture reveals the incredible blessing of the person who wants to see peace. The truth is that whatever your agenda, it will come out in the fruit of what you are sowing. We need to check that our agenda is this. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Good agenda, good harvest. Selfish or perverse agenda will show up in what grows. Don't have a secret agenda. Have God's open agenda. Right? Right. Point 4. Proportionality. Whew, that's a good word. Proportionality. Where did he get that one from? 2 Corinthians 9 verse 6. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Isn't this simple? If we live day by day, showing a little concern for each other, doing a little good, we will see a little back. If we fill our field with wheat seeds, we will reap much more than if we put six seeds in a plant pot. You see, you could say, but I've sown wheat this year. But do you really think your window box will provide enough crop for you to survive on till next year? No. It's all relative. It's proportional to what you sow. Proverbs 11:24. One man gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. A generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. If you hold it tight in your hand so that you will have it when you need it, you will be poor. If you give it away, you will get it back. Grown, fruitful. If you cannot prize open your own hand to let the seed fall on the ground, you end up with nothing. We live in a society where keeping it for ourselves is the only way of having anything when we need it. We save for a rainy day. We store up for ourselves what we may need later. I wouldn't dream of saying that you shouldn't make provision for your family, because 1 Timothy 5:8 says, if anyone doesn't provide for his relatives, and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. But when we withhold because we might need it, or because actually we just don't want to let go of it, or when we refuse to give because we want it for ourselves, we actually deny God's provision to our own lives. And we need to understand that whatever it is, if we hold it and keep it, we're denying God's provision to ourselves. It is not that God is being stingy with us. It is not that God is closing the heavens up. It is not that God is refusing to bless us. It's that we are refusing to allow God to bless us. Do you see? Like all the Bible, this is either true or not. It does apply to money, but not only money. If you want some love in your life, then learn how to sow love into other people's lives. I'm not meaning sleep around. I'm talking about love. Are you lacking friends? Well, be a friend to somebody. Have you ever played the smiling game? Do you know what the smiling game is? You go out in public and you start smiling at people and see how long it takes for them to smile back. Look at your watch. 5 seconds, right? Whatever. You ought to try this sometime. It's a great game. Now, I actually try this regularly now. In the morning, if I nip across to Jackson's, the corner shop, I actually try the smiling game. I have this thing now. If I can see somebody about to go into Jackson's, I run like mad to get in front of them so I can hold the door open and let them walk past me. And I've got this new game I'm playing now about I get to the front of the checkout and I let them serve the woman behind me. We went into TK Maxx the other day and we bought about 100 million items of clothing. I'm exaggerating slightly. And behind me, a woman came up with a pair of sandals. And I smiled at her and said, don't you just hate it when you come to the only checkout that's open and the person in front of you has got 50 things and you've got one? I said, come on, let's swap places. You should have seen a jaw picking it up off the floor. And her husband was thanking me. Oh, thank you so much. Do you know, it's a great game. It's a great game because do you know why it's so much fun? Because no one else plays it. It's because you should see the reaction you get. Do you know what? There's an old lady that lives down the street from me and she started smiling at me first now because I've done it a few times to her. I used to walk past her on the way to Jackson's and say hello and smile and she would ignore me. And do you know, I think it was Thursday morning, I walked out the house and she was walking past the house and she smiled first. Do you know something? I've taught that woman to smile. I have. I have reaped a harvest of smiles. Now, I know you laugh at this, but let me tell you, this is a principle of sowing and reaping. And don't you tell me that I haven't made somebody's day by letting them go ahead of me when I had 50 items in my shopping trolley. Don't tell me I haven't made somebody's day, because we all know what it is like dealing with that person after they've queued behind the person with 50 items in the trolley and they're ranting and raving and they go in the next shop and you get the earful, or you witness the earful, because they are so wound up by what has just happened. Let me tell you something. There are some good things we can sow into people, and some of them are so easy. So easy. Matthew 10, verse 7. As you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. I love this word freely. Do you know what it means? It means gratuitously. You know what gratuitous violence is, don't you? It's about the only way we use the word gratuitously this day. Oh, that movie was full of gratuitous violence. Gratuitously give. That's what Jesus says. He says gratuitously give. Freely give. Gratuitously. You know, gratuitous violence is violence that there were no call for it. There was just too much of it. There was too much, right? Well, give too much. Freely give, gratuitously give. Acts 4, verse 36. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. Was he called the son of encouragement before or after he started giving, I wonder? Why do you think they called him son of encouragement? Why, it was a good encouragement when he walked in and he said, well, I had a field, I've sold it, here's the lot. Right? Do you know something? Some people get hung up on tithing. I had a phone call this week from someone who's hung up on tithing, giving a tenth of their income to the church. Well, here's some news for you. Don't get hung up on tithing. The New Testament Christians had no issue with giving 100%. That's why they had no issue with 10%. They didn't bother about the tithe. They gave everything. And don't get all super spiritual with me. They gave everything. Let me tell you, you will never worry about 10% again if you're prepared to give 100%. So, finally, we live in a sceptical age. We live in a time when we are surrounded by people who don't believe anything good, but always believe bad. I am sure there are some people that think bad of me for trying to get them to smile. And don't think that's perverse. You think of people you know. There must be somebody going around saying, what's this guy on? What is he trying to do to me? I want to try and get people to smile. We live in a day when people don't believe marriage can work even before they enter it, so that they are not disappointed later when it doesn't. Although, of course, they go into relationships sowing out of selfishness, not seeking the good of the other party, and then feel all wronged when they don't get anything out of it. In my experience is a saying that governs so much belief and also what people are prepared to sow into. I would rather trust God's experience and his plan rather than my own. The Bible is clear. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. What does this tell us? If we're coming to God, we must believe that he exists and that he's good. That's what it means. We must believe that he is good. If you really believe that God has a cricket bat behind him, and that as soon as you get close enough, he's going to wing you with it, then you are going to have a problem with your relationship with God. That's why the Bible says you must believe that he is good. He is a rewarder of those who seek him. God is a good God. He has promised us seed time and harvest. He has told us that we cannot turn our nose up at his promise. A man reaps what he sows. And that is a big positive. Unless we deal with skepticism in our hearts and speech, we rob ourselves of a good harvest. John 12:24, I tell you the truth. Unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Unless you believe by letting go of what you have now, you will benefit later, you will not do it. Unless you understand that a selfish motivation will cost you everything later, you will not inherit the fullness of life. We are saved because we believe we can lay down our sin and failure at the foot of the cross of Jesus and pick up his life. It takes faith for that, and it takes faith to correctly sow and reap in our lives. But it will work. What goes down must come up. If a seed falls to the ground and dies, then it will produce many seeds. What goes down must come up. Isaiah 55 verse 9, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You don't know it all. I don't know it all. It was a shock when I found that out, but I don't know it all. I'm very fortunate my wife has told me, you don't know it all. But God does. You don't know how to fly a plane, or possibly even how one works, but you happily get in one and expect to arrive at your holiday destination. You don't know what makes the seed sprout and what goes on inside each cell to make a crop, but you know what bread tastes like and that you enjoy it and you want it as part of your daily life. Such it is with God and his plan for your life. Seed for the sower and bread for the eater all come from his word. Choose it and release it in your life and you will have a great harvest. After finally comes lastly. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 7. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way, so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and everyone else. God loves a cheerful giver. Cheerful, Greek word, hilaros. It means cheerful, merry, prompt and willing. Be up for it. It works with money, but it works with everything else. And you know, sometimes I think we've overemphasized the money thing. It works with money, but it works with everything else. Be up for it. You know, be merry. Be merry when you give. Well, I've given them a bit. Oh, let's give them a bit more. Oh, I feel in the giving mood today. That's the sort of giver it says that God loves. Be a cheerful giver. Be a hilaros giver. And remember this. What goes down must come up. It's a fact. What goes down must come up. Because what you sow, you will reap. It's a blessing, it's a promise from God, it's a big positive, and it's yours if you put it into practice in your life. Amen? Amen. Amen.